your ministry all about? What do you do?
Well, it starts through customs. When they ask me where I'm going and what I'm doing, I tell them then that I'm a Christian. I'm going into the prison.
In Belize?
In Belize, yeah. Or any customs. And so, anyways, I minister to people when they're giving me gas, when I'm buying groceries, whatever, pass out Bibles. And then when I go into the gate of the prison, I'm giving out Bibles to them. There's a couple of Muslims work at the gates. I've talked to one of them and given him a book about what Muslim and Christianity, etc. We talk about things. And the guards are just as poor as the prisoners, I think. They work 10-hour days for $4 an hour, I think they get, which is about $2 American an hour. And they work, and they'll never have a car. They'll never go on a 2-week vacation. They are out there hitchhiking. Sometimes they live 2 hours away from the prison. So, I mean, I talk to them, too, and pray for them. Some of them come down for counseling. I give them Bibles, books, pamphlets, whatever. And as I walk through the yard, I visit with the guys along the way because they're all out there doing something, getting water or whatever, hanging out.
So when you're at the prison, then you visit with the guards,
the inmates.
You visit with the inmates.
Yeah, they're out there getting water. There's a little store there that they can go and buy things. So.
And you do counseling with the
men,
too?
Yeah, once in a while, yeah. Yeah, when I get down to there, I haven't got reached there yet. But when I get into, it's called Tango One, the Christian part. I get in there and they're all saying, hi, hi, just like mom coming home, or grandma. And so I talk to them one-on-one and visit. Sometimes there's a few of them in there all visiting and laughing, and you know, it's just comfortable. And I talk to them and hold hands and pray with them. We read the Bible. They read the Bible. They tell me their problems, etc.
And you do some craft work with them.
Yes,
with
I took down a big bag of crochet thread? No. What do you call
it? I have no idea.
Come on. You know, the colored thread, embroidery thread. So then I thought, then I went to the head one and I says, can I get in and do something with the women there? And I says, I brought a bunch of embroidery threads. She says, yeah, okay, what days do you want? So I got 2 afternoons a week when I go in there. I bought material and put stamps on them and stuff like that. And I put the big bag down. I thought it was going into the office, but I never did see that bag of crochet thread again. But anyway, they've always sort of dug up the thread to continue. I don't know who's got the thread, but... I don't do that anymore. From now on, I'll give them a strand.
So you kind of have 2 things going on where you do some crafts with
the
women.
In the afternoon, yeah.
And then you do some counseling
and,
with the
and
men.
The men were doing all the paper stuff like that, so I got permission to take a couple of men over to show the ladies how to do it. And then there was somebody making, out of the grocery bags, they make these necklaces and stuff like that. They can stretch it and twist it and... weave it and stuff like that. So I took the men over there to show the women to how to do that. And then I'm trying to keep them busy.
So the crafty stuff that you've got them doing, you got a table in the back, and you have a lot of their product, or I guess the crafts that they have made that people can go and see.
Yeah.
So
And also, too, when I first went into the women's side, I mean, it's just a small room like out in the foyer there. And there's about 55 women in there, and there's mostly 90% Spanish, and they all talk loud. So it was just a zoo going in there, and plus they're fighting and arguing and carrying on. And then in one group, it was a bunch of Cuban girls. Well, they didn't mix or have anything to do with the other girls. But once I started the crafts, one came over to learn, then another one slipped over, and pretty soon they were all friends with one another, and that was really nice, and it wasn't loud and fighting anymore. I was able also to go in the back down to their cells when I was going to say goodbye to them and see what they were living in. It was terrible. I wouldn't want to be in there at all. But, and that's when they're locked up, and that's why I got them doing the paper and stuff, and anything that they can do, embroidery. I took material in, they made themselves an apron, someone donated pillows, so they learned that, brought material, and then they sewed up the edges and made themselves a pillow slip. And then, of course, they found that embroidery thread and did some designs on them. And So somebody was, an American was going in there to teach them how to sew on a sewing machine, but these people have not got sewing machines, so taught them that they can make anything by hand. You know, they didn't know how to do a knot on the end of the thread when I first went in there, nor did they think they could do anything. So, and they're gradually getting, and I found a big bunch of crepe paper? Some sort of paper. Tissue paper at the store, so I took a bunch of that in, and I here said, here, make some flowers out of this. So they're making flowers now, too, and they've figured it out by themselves, which is really good.
So you have this great ministry taking place in Belize, in the prison.
Yeah.
How did you get connected to doing that ministry? How did that come about?
Well, years ago, I guess over 30 years ago, I got to go down to a children's home down in Mexico. It was run by Sparrow's Gate. And he knew a pastor up in San Diego. So I went into with the pastor and the group from the church there, and went into the prison at Tijuana. And that's when I fell in love with the prisoners. And you know, I think when I became a Christian, I had a terrible attitude towards men. But going to an AA meeting, hearing some guys talk, honestly, I don't see men as bad people. All I see is a little boy in there that has been hurt, and that's what I see. And the women too, you know. I mean, when they get out of that prison, I mean, they either have to find a guy to look after them and all their kids, or because there's no jobs or anything. So I hope that they can learn some sort of craft so that they can look after themselves, so they don't have to resort to that way of life.
So you got connected through Sparrow Ministry in
Mexico, and then he got
Tijuana.
Me into
And then he got you into Belize.
I got a hold of him and says, you got anything going? And he says, yeah, you can go down to Belize and house it for this missionary lady. So as I was driving in, I saw the prison there, and I thought, well, that's what I want to go into. So it took me a couple of years and got a hold of a Belize pastor, and he got me and filled out the papers and got me in there. So he brought me in there to counsel, which I thought, well, counsel? I didn't know what a counselor was. And
so you're not a trained counselor,
no.
But...
The Bible.
Yeah, but what have you seen God doing in that ministry through you, but also just what have you been seeing God do specifically, some stories of some people?
Yeah, well, at Christmas time, the guys were all practicing singing carols because they were going to go around to the different buildings and sing Christmas carols. That was really pathetic to hear them practicing doing their Christmas carols. Anyway, they said I could go with them, which I thought was good. And so then I went and I saw the other parts of the prison, which is not so not so nice. And so I was, while they're singing, I was going around holding hands with all the guys in the different cells. And, you know, two bunk beds on either side, there's barely room enough for the two or three guys to stand up at the same time in there. And they're the ones that are allowed only out half an hour a day. I don't know where they wash. And a few of them gave me their names because they wanted to come into Tango, went into the Christian part. So, anyways, then they started, they did come in, and the one came in one day, and I had to hold my breath, you know, to talk to him, and he started telling me about his life, about how his parents had died when he was a kid, and how his grandparents had raised him, and they used to beat him and starve him, and they made him eat. When he did eat, he had to eat out of a sardine tin. Anyways, I was able to, you know, after a while, I prayed with him that, you know, God would heal that poor little boy in there, because he was so pathetic and he just looked awful. And so he asked me for a deodorant, and I guess the guy said, ask Bernice for anything, she'll get you whatever you want. And I said, I'm not buying you deodorant, this costs too much money. I thought, you can't put deodorant on dirt, you know. So when I went home, God says, do something. So I went to the store and bought a bar of soap, and I had a little piece of sponge from a pillow that I'd made, a toothbrush and toothpaste I got on sale, and a bag of chocolate milk or something. And then I always keep change, so I made a little bag of them, and I called him in the next day, and I gave him this little bag and a little handful of change. Well, the next day when I saw him, his face was all shiny. He had a big smile on his face. And that every time I saw him, that's what he looked like. He was just a new person. And the last day before I left, he came in. I brought him in, and he just was talking like a little boy. And he says, we have a little Bible. And I always make sure that they're a Christian when they come in. I make them a Christian. There's no use learning about the Bible if you're not a Christian. And so anyways, he was just like a little boy telling me about the little Bible studies they're having at night and what he was learning and everything. It was just so pathetic. And he says, and I prayed for you and everything. And, you know, it was wonderful to see that. You know. And there's another guy in there, too. He's from Mexico. He was a drug dealer in Mexico. I guess he got caught down there with a whole bunch of drugs. And anyway, they put him in there for I don't know how many years. He's got 25 years or something. But apparently the drug cartel were going to get him out of there, even if they had to kill some guards to do that. And he said, no, I'm a Christian now. Don't do it. He says, no, I'll do my time. But his wife, I'm getting him Christian books and Spanish books so he can give to his wife when she comes to visit because they're teaching them, you know, how to be Christians and everything. So that's pretty wonderful to see that, too.
So Bernice has an amazing ministry where she's in the prison and she's knowing. People are getting to know her. They know that they can go to her for prayer. She does some crafts with them. She can give them some counseling. She does Bible studies with them. So how can we at Calvary Baptist Church support you in this or partner with you or something with you in the ministry you're doing?
Well, thankfully you've given me a whole pile of donations. I've mailed down 9 boxes, which cost me $1,300 to mail to Belize. I can't do it the slow way anymore. It saves maybe a couple hundred dollars. But, I mean, if you could help me financially, that would be great. And I love it that you've donated so much craft and stuff with them. I'm going to start teaching them how to crochet and knit and everything when I go back. And artwork. And I'm going to there's a woodworking place down there. I'm going to get them to make some spool things, like spool knitting. They can do anything that they can do in their cells, you know, because they're in there for a long time. And that's about it. Money, money, money.
Yeah. Money, money, money. If you want to support Bernice in financially, please do that. Talk to her after the service. And you need to, if you want to support her financially, you need to give her that money directly. Because of the way the system is set up today with Revenue Canada, we can't cut her checks from the church. That's just not allowed anymore. But as an individual, you can come and give her finances. You won't get tax receipted, but you can support her in that way. She'll also be at the back after the service and take a look at some of those crafts that the prisoners have made and talk to her about.
They made this out of a grocery bag. They've learned how to pull it and twist it and stuff and make stuff out of it. So I took the men over to show the ladies how to do it. And also, too, it's not just craft. I mean, I take in food, coffee, all kinds of things.
Deodorant, yeah.
And I'm not doing the deodorant. I did that one year, and they were out selling it right in front of my face.
So Denise is getting wiser in what she's doing.
Yeah, it's $1 or $2, and that's it.
Right on. So, can I just...
81.
Bernice is 81, and she started this, 2 years ago?
In the prison, about 3 years
ago. 3 years ago. 3 years ago, God called her to this. So I bring that up to make sure that you understand that retirement is not retirement from God's work or the church. Those of you that are retired and have checked out of the church and out of God's work, that's not right. That's not right.
And plus, when you go and do something like that, God keeps me healthy. You know, I'm healthier there. They're down there than I am here, and now I've got a cold.
Got to get you out of here.
Yeah,
so please see Bernice after the service. See how you can support her and be a part of this with her. Let me pray for you before you sit down. Thank you so much, Father, that you have directed Bernice in this way, that this is where you want her to minister. Thank you that so many of those men and women see Bernice as mom or grandma, and that she has this kind of a relationship there. Thank you, Lord, for how when she comes into the room in this craft room, and your Holy Spirit has transformed that room from this noisy chaos to peace. peacefulness. And so, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for the wisdom that you've given Bernice to counsel men and women, to lead Bible studies. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for her example that a willing heart can be used by the Lord around the world. And Father, may we be encouraged by that and motivated to completely surrender to you and to where you want us to go. Thank you for Bernice's ministry that you have got her in. Bless her, Lord. Keep her strong. We trust in you for what you are doing with Bernice. And we ask this all and give thanks to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.